Good morning and good afternoon and welcome again, everyone. I'm going to get right to it. Today, you're looking at the topic and you are wondering, what in the world is that all about? Well, you know, you'll find out in just a bit when we get to it. The wilderness of Tekoa and the valley of Berakah. Now, that's a strange title for a room such as this. But you'll find out in a minute. You know, the last 4 days we were here, we declared a fast before the Lord. And I believe the Lord did great things. You know, so here we are today. That particular series is over. But what do we do then after that? Well, here's what we do after that. It's what we're doing in this lesson today. I am going to share with us in the story, this story that we have talked about multiple times. Many people have talked about it. I have talked about it many times in this room. I've alluded to it. But we always stopped short of this part of it. And that's what I'm going to bring out today. Because we don't want to rob the Lord of his praises. That's right. And that's what this room is all about. You know, so now, you know, let me, you know, unfold the mystery of this title. What a title like that. Second Chronicles chapter 20. We've talked about this story of Jehoshaphat and Judah versus Moab, Mount Seir, and Ammon. We've talked about it multiple times. But let's bring out a viewpoint here today. And this is what the Lord is calling for right now. Especially after the victories of the last 4 days. What else now? Let's hear what this is all about. I will paraphrase the story. And just bear with me patiently. But there are some things we want to bring out. Even though you've read the story multiple times. Even though you've heard it said multiple times, I myself have said it multiple times. You know, yet let's walk through it this morning and hear what the Lord is going to call out. There are many lessons to be learned in this particular story. I will call forth some of them as we go along. You know, but the most important part I will deal with when I get to the part about the wilderness of Tekoa and the valley of Berakah. And I'll tell you what those things mean in a bit. But here is the, you know, more popular part that everybody knows. We know the story of how these three great companies came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And we know what ensued after that. But let's pick up some of these stories, some parts of these stories and so forth. Now, we start at verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, them other besides the Ammonites, you know, there was even other people. You know, maybe there was even more than those that came. We found out later that Moab joined them, you know, and they came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And they came and told Jehoshaphat, you know, and Jehoshaphat feared, you know, and he feared because now there's a problem coming. Well, but he knew what to do. See, that's number one lesson. Now, let's pick out the various lessons here. Now, when all of a sudden evil news came, Jehoshaphat was afraid. Nothing too wrong with being afraid, even though the scripture tells us not to be afraid. You will be afraid at times. But what do you do when that sudden fear or that kind of thing comes? Well, Jehoshaphat knew what to do. He turned to the Lord. That's the thing. That's what to do. That's number one. So he turned to the Lord. He also proclaimed a fast. Well, we've done the fasting part. The last 4 days. Against the four horns that have battered down the people of God and the carpenter's anointing that the Lord gave to combat those. We did that the last 4 days extensively. So when he gathered all Judah together to ask help of the Lord, see, that's in verse 6. He asked help of the Lord. Hallelujah. Then he called all the people to come ask the Lord. Now, isn't it wonderful? I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if you had a national leader, like a president of the United States, for instance, you know, that would lead the people like this Jehoshaphat, you know, instead of selling themselves over to iniquity, even to throw things into the face of the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had, you know, a leader like that? That was the cheerleader. He was the chief priest, you know, getting everybody to praise the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful, you know, now, and getting everybody to fast and to pray and doing all these things. So they gathered together, all of them, and Jehoshaphat stood, you know, and, you know, this was verse 4, and then verse 5, he stood in the congregation of the Lord before the court and said, O Lord God, our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And are you not the one that rules over the kingdoms of the heathen? Now, that's the kind of way you challenge the Lord. You know, the Lord knows that he's the king. The Lord knows that he's the God. But do you know it? And if you know it, tell him about it. And so Jehoshaphat began to tell the Lord. And if their hand is there not power and might? Are you not the one that has all power and might? And there is nothing that is able to withstand you? Nobody can withstand. He began to tell the Lord these things. And when you begin to tell God those things, then God will be fixing to do something. You know. And then he said, look at your people. You know, you gave us this place. And we're dwelling here. We've even built a sanctuary for your name and so forth. And you said, look, when evil cometh, you know, we prayed. When evil cometh, you know, Solomon, everybody prayed about that. When evil cometh upon us as the sword, the judgment, the pestilence, the famine, if we were to stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and we were to cry unto you in our affliction, that you will hear us. You know, he reminded the Lord of those things. And now behold this company, you know, which have come up against us. Now, we had an opportunity to have destroyed them, but you did not allow us. You know, when we passed through their land, you said, leave them be. Just pass through, pay for whatever you need, but don't go into fight with them. And we didn't touch them because you commanded us not to. Now, see how they repay us. They come against us now. We could have had opportunity. We had opportunity to have destroyed them, but we didn't at thy word. But now see how they repair. So he began to plead his cause before the Lord. And that's another way you pray. And see how they reward us and so forth. Now, our God, will thou not judge us? I mean, judge them? He assessed his own strength against the battle. Jesus himself said, look, count the cost before you go into battle. Because if you have only 10,000, how are you going to go into battle with someone that has twice as much or twice as many? You know, and if you can't do it, then better don't go do it. Find some other way around it. You know, so he said, look, we have no power or might against this great company, and we don't even know what to do. Here's another lesson. But our eyes are upon you. That's another lesson today. When you don't know what to do, turn your eyes upon the Lord. That's the beginning of your victory right there. When you can say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. That is the portal to your victory right there. And so all Judah, they're waiting to see what this man is going to do. Commander-in-chief, army, you know, I mean, whatever he tells the army, that's what they're going to do. He's also the king. Now he's becoming, you know, the priest here, gathering everybody, you know, to pray and do all these things. You know, so the Lord spoke a word to them through Jehaziel, you know, a young prophet that stood up in the midst of the people and gave them, you know, a powerful powerful promise and said, "Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Now, God responded in kind because of the type of prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed. Now, tomorrow, you go down against them. Now, we did that lesson when we covered the past, the present, and the future, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The Lord, you know, says tomorrow. He didn't say today, and he said tomorrow. "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord that is with you," and so forth. And "do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Now, let me call out another thing. Here's another lesson for today. Just because the Lord said that he is with you and he is going to fight the battle for you and you don't need to fight, you know, the Lord didn't say just because of that, that you should stay home. The Lord didn't say stay home. Don't stay home. Confront the battle. But don't go in your strength. That's the lesson. We're not going to stay home. We're not going to back down. We're going to confront the battle, but not in our strength. See, that's the thing. You can't stay home. You can't run away from the fight. You know, but you get in the fight, you engage. But you know that you're not going in your strength. So that's the thing that we want to bring out. You know, it's not just, okay, the Lord's going to fight for us, all of us sit at home. You know, no. And be drinking, eating, and all that. Mm-mm-mm. You know, so in the morning, now, between the day that the Lord told them and the next day, they had opportunity to think about what the Lord said. So that's why sometimes God gives you time, you know, many times, and we studied that before. Instead of making them take action today, he would say tomorrow, you know, because between now and tomorrow, you have a time to worship, you know, and that's what Jehoshaphat did. Jehoshaphat said, "Well, it's tomorrow. You know, it's going to be tomorrow, so I've got some time today. What am I going to do between today and tomorrow?" Well, you can panic all day long, or you can worship. Well, he chose to worship because the Lord already gave the promise. So he consulted among the people, you know, found the ones that knew how to praise the beauty of holiness. And that's a good thing. You know, that's a good thing. You know, there are some people that are skilled. It's not everybody that knows how to do this thing, but some people are skilled, you know, and after the commandment of David, you know, and so forth, sons of Asaph, and many of them, they were skilled. They knew how to do these things. So he found among them those that knew how to do the tambourines and the trumpet, you know, and the timbrel and all those things. And they knew how to shout the victory, right? So he, when he found those people, he divided the people into two companies. The army that was skilled in battle and those people that were skilled in praising the beauty of holiness. And, you know, he said, "Look, you guys that are skilled in battle, you stay behind, you know, and these people, I mean, not stay behind and go, but you fall back and let these people, other people be in front." I mean, how in the world do you do that? You know, you put the army generals and all that in front. So you know this story. I'm bringing all of these things out. And, you know, but that's the way he chose to do it. He chose to praise the Lord even ahead of the victory. Okay. And then they went out and fought against these people, and the Lord gave them the victory. Okay, so you know that story. So we've covered that story. Now, here is the part that I want to bring out. And the way the Lord fought for them was he turned their enemies against one another, and they destroyed one another. All right. Now, when the Lord had finished fighting for them and causing their enemies to destroy one another, here's what Jehoshaphat did. So let's pick up. This is the interesting part of the story that I actually want to cover today. You know, I did all of that just in case anybody stumbled into this room and wasn't even familiar with the story. So that's why I just gave the quick background. All right. Now, in verse 25, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them that were vanquished, because none of them escaped, they were all falling, dead bodies all over the place, you know, they began to take away the spoil. There was abundance, both in riches and the precious jewels, they stripped from them, carried them away. They were 3 days. Notice this, folks. They were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It took them 3 days because it was so much, because this company was so great that came up against them. Or these companies that came up against them were so great in number. Now, so they finished that. Now, then in the next place, they're going to do something. And I forgot to read this to you. Let me bring this out in verse 20. So this is where the title of the room comes from. In verse 20, and they rose up early in the morning, and they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. So that's where one part of the lesson's title came from. The wilderness of Tekoa. That's where they are going to put the battle in array. But their own part of the battle is they're just going to be praising the Lord and shouting the victory. And the Lord's going to give them the victory. So they went to the wilderness of Tekoa. That's where the fight was. And that was where God fought for Israel. I mean, for Judah, you know, and so forth. At that time, wilderness of Tekoa. Now, when they were finished with the wilderness of Tekoa, let's see what is next. On the fourth day, verse 26, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah. That's the second part of the title of this lesson. The wilderness of Tekoa and the valley of Berakah. Tekoa, by the way, means trumpet. You know, so that was the, you know, trumpet of war and so forth like that. You know, they blow the trumpet, they fight, they do all these things, you know. And we have blown the trumpet the last 4 days. We blew the trumpet. We assembled the people. We did a convocation. The convocation is a gathering of the people. Gather the people and say, let's fast and pray. Let's come against all these things. And we did. That was the battle. Now, on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah. For there they blessed the Lord. Now, Berakah means blessing. Now, this is not God blessing them. This is the people blessing God. And how do you bless God? Well, the way you bless God, at least the way we saw it in the life of the children of Israel, every time that Solomon or David or him say, now bless the Lord your God, the people will say, well, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord, for he, Lord, is good, and his mercy endureth forever. That's how they bless the Lord. And they just begin to say, the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. You know, and they began to bless the name of the Lord. So they assembled themselves there in the valley of Berakah, and that's where they blessed the Lord. And that place is named the Valley of Berakah until this day. And they returned, every man. Now notice, this is another lesson from today, for today. Every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat was the chief leader. Cheerleader in front of them. Hallelujah. He didn't sit back like a king and so forth. No. He took the front. Hallelujah. To return glory to God. Now, so that's our lesson today. Now you begin to get the picture. He was in the front of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice. You know, so that's the lesson. When you go into the wilderness of Tekoa and you fight the battle and the Lord fights for you and give you the victory, what do you do next? Next is the Valley of Berakah, which is to praise the Lord. Now, this is the thing that we are going to do today, is we're going to shout the victory. Because, you know, many times when people are in distress and they are facing all kinds of problems, I mean, you need to see the, I'm talking about people of the Lord now. You need to see the passion and intensity that people use to pray, to pray before the Lord when they are going through, you know, certain stuff. People can pray. I mean, you see those prayer warriors, they'll come out, they can pray, you know, and, If you're one also that's, you know, can pray like that, you pray, you be passionate, you have intensity as you get a hold of God. you know, and so forth. I mean, fervent effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth more. So you pray, you know, with intensity and so forth. And then when the Lord does the thing and gives you the victory, we don't see that kind of intensity. This is the lesson for today. We don't see that kind of passion in praising the Lord after the victory. People will come. Some people will even come and give a testimony, but it's kind of casual. I mean, when they were praying, they spent days praying, crying unto the Lord with passion and intensity. And when it came time to give the Lord the praise, they just say one casual sentence and they move on. Now, ye have robbed me, saith the Lord, in my praises and my glory. That's right. Ye have robbed me. Ye are thieves and robbers, the Lord says. You robbed me in my praises. You robbed me in my glory. Now, we must always do the valley of Beraka after the wilderness of Tekoa. After God has given you the great victory, then you need to come back with a great shout. Not a little shout. You need to match the intensity that you matched, I mean, that you had when you were crying out to the Lord. This is the thing that people don't do. You know, you see, I have never seen, you know, I'm going to tell you a few more things here. So you hold on now, you know, and when they did this, they came into the house of the Lord, you know, with psalteries, with harps, with trumpets, and so forth. I mean, how many people come with trumpets? How many people come with tambourines? How many people come with this when it's time to praise the Lord? I mean, I've seen even, I know here we are virtual, we can't see each other. But I've seen in, you know, the local assembly when we are in the fellowship or church or whatever, when it's time to shout the victory, I don't know what it is with people. I mean, they can't shout. They can't praise the Lord. I mean, these same people, they can jump through pews. I mean, they can jump through stadium benches or something. If somebody, you know, scores a touchdown or some crazy thing like that, that has nothing to do with life, you know, real life. I mean, people can shout, people can scream, and somebody makes a touchdown, and somebody, you know, we're watching a basketball game, you know, the clock is winding out, there are 2 seconds left on the clock, this man is falling out of bounds, and he throws up a prayer. You know, he just throws up the thing, you know, and that thing finds nothing but the bottom of the net, you know, to win the game. Maybe it was a crucial game. You'll see how the stadium will go wild. Now, when the people of God receive the victory, nobody goes wild. Nobody. That's when people now say, well, you know, I'm a mellow person. You know, I'm this and that, you know. But they're not mellow when they are crying to the Lord. They're passionate and they're fired up and they are intensity and crying and so forth. Have intensity. And when it comes to praising the Lord, now all of a sudden they are mellow. And the Lord said, well, you have robbed me in my praises and in my glory. You've robbed me. Give me a couple of stories here in the Bible. In the book of Luke chapter 17. Verses 11 to 19, there was this story of the lepers, which you all knew. When Jesus had healed them, actually, he just gave them the word. So go show yourself to the priests. That's all they did. And as they were going, you may know this story, they found that they were cleansed. Their flesh came again like the flesh of a baby. I said, wow, my goodness. And then, you know, 9 of them went their way. One of them returned. Now, let's see the one that returned. Let's see how he did it. Luke chapter 17. Let's pick up the story in verse 11. Jesus told them in verse 14, he said, now, remember, let me read from verse 13. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus. Now, he said they lifted up. I mean, they were crying out. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. mercy on us. They cried out. And Jesus, he saw them. He had compassion on them. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. That's all he said. Well, they believed the word. So, well, let's better do whatever he said. You know, and then it came to pass as they went that they were cleansed. Wow. And when they saw they were cleansed, you know, one of them, when he saw that he was cleansed, turned back and with a loud voice, you know, he matched the same intensity by which he cried to Jesus at first, maybe even louder. This time around, he did a loud voice. And with a shout of praise, he came and glorified God. You know, and he wasn't civil. I mean, he wasn't, you know, mild and so forth like that at that time. No, he cried out as if he was still praying. But this time around, in the praises of the Lord. And he fell down before his face at the feet of Jesus and gave thanks. Now, this man was a Samaritan. Maybe the rest were Jews. And people never liked, those Jews never liked the Samaritan and vice versa in those days. But the Jews despised the Samaritans. You know, so they thought they were second class citizens. But, you know, this one, he came back and praised the Lord with a loud voice. And the Lord said, well, where are those 10 that were cleansed? Well, I don't see them. You know, they are not found to give glory to God except this stranger. So it seems to me like the others were Jews. Because the Lord said, this one says, just this stranger. Only this one comes back. The rest of them didn't come back. You know, so, and he said to him, arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, Jesus didn't say that to the other two. I mean, the other 9, sorry. But he said it to this one. So by him coming back and giving God the praise with a loud voice, he got even another benediction from the Lord. So your faith has made you whole. I mean, this man became whole. Whole of everything. You know, it wasn't just anymore the leprosy or whatever. It was everything. This man is now made whole. Glory to God. Now, and, you know, so we see that that is a lesson for us to learn. There is another lesson for us to learn here in the book of 2 Samuel. You know, first of all, let me paraphrase the story to you because I know you know it. Many people do. And just in case you don't know it, you know, 2 Samuel in the days of David, you know, there's a lot of things that he went through. And at different times, there were various things that happened to David. But one time he came, you know, he became king finally, you know, and so on. And it turned out that during that time also, you know, they had, captured the ark and all of that. And at one time, the ark was being returned. When the ark was being returned, you know, David was happy and he danced before the Lord. So let's pick up this story in 2 Samuel chapter 6. The story is from verses 11 to 23. You know, there was a time that David was afraid to bring the ark into his house because of what had happened to Uzzah. Uzzah was the man, however you pronounce his name, that tried to put his hand to help the ark, when the oxen that were carrying the ark stumbled and it seemed as if the ark was going to fall, you know, Uzzah put his hand to get a hold of it. And the Lord was angry with him because he shouldn't have done that. And the Lord smote him. And David was afraid at that. He said, wow, you know, I don't want the ark to come into my house. So he sent the ark aside to the house of Obed-Edom. I told the Gittites. And it happened that the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom because of the ark. Lord didn't smite anybody there. But he blessed them. So when when David now saw that the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom, well, he gathered courage. He said, well, it's time to bring the ark back now. So when they brought the ark back, now let's pick up this story in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 13. When they brought up this ark, it was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord, they that bore it had gone 6 paces. David began to sacrifice oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. I haven't seen anybody dance before the Lord with all their might. most of the time, we are just mellow when it comes to praising the Lord. David danced before the Lord with all his might. And despite the fact that he had the king's, robe and everything on. And David, as he was dancing, the sound of the trumpet was going forth. As they were coming, even the robe was a problem. So David cast off the robe, said, look, this thing is, and he just cast off the robe, the kingly robe, and he began to get down. He began to shout, he began to praise the Lord. He actually looked like he was a crazy person, because his wife, the daughter of Saul, called Michal, she looked down through the window and saw David dancing and leaping. Let's read that in chapter 2 Samuel, verse 6 and 16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw her husband, King David, leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him. Look at this man. So when they finally brought the ark into the place and so on, and when David had made an end of all the offerings that he did, he blessed the people, he did all those things and so forth. And then he went to his house, blessed his household. And his wife came to him and said, look, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself, shamed yourself before all the damsels of Israel? Look at you. You're supposed to be the king. We've never seen any king do this crazy stuff, take off his crown, take off his robe, and dance like a crazy person in the street. just make a shame of yourself. Sometimes these women ought to be, careful in how they run their mouth off. She was not even scared, to say all those things against somebody that was praising the Lord. And that's one thing you don't ever do. Just leave anybody that's praising the Lord alone. But I like the answer of David. David looked at her and said, it was before the Lord, the same God that chose me instead of your father. That's right. Where was your father and your father's house when the Lord appointed me? The Lord chose me instead of him. Therefore, I will praise him. Hallelujah. And if you think that what I did was shameful, you haven't seen anything yet. And in fact, it was not shameful at all. All those people, they loved it. You're the only one that didn't love it. And I'm praising the Lord. It was before the Lord. I don't care whether anybody love it or don't love it. I will do even more than that. I will be even more base. I will strip myself even more. Because I gotta praise the beauty of holiness here. And the Lord was angry with this woman. Yeah. Be careful now. The Lord was angry with her. You see somebody dancing and praising the Lord, you despise them in your heart. Be very careful. For the Lord smote this woman with barrenness. And she was barren all the days of her life. But David, he went on to praise the Lord. Now, let's look at some, I'm going to read through some of David's writings quickly. Places where David commanded people to shout the victory. Now, if you don't know how to shout, in fact, one time somebody told me when I was talking about this, he said, well, not everybody, some people are mellow, some people are this. And I said, well, you may be mellow, but God said, shout. And if he said shout, then you have to shout. If you don't shout when God says shout, then that means you are not obeying the commandments of the Lord. you know, so let's take a look at some of the places where David said, shout unto the Lord. And that's what I want us to do here today. This is now our Valley of Berakah. We've gone through the wilderness of Tekoa for 4 days, and the Lord gave us the victory. Now, are there anybody here? Are there those in this room that return to give God the glory with a loud voice? Let's find out. Psalm 47 and verse 1. And this is to everyone that say, well, you know, I mean, I'm more of a mellow kind. I'm more of a, you know, a docile kind and so forth. Maybe you were not so mellow when you were shouting and praying that God should deliver you. You had intensity and you had passion. Oh, clap your hands, oh ye people. Oh, ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Now, that's a command to shout. That's not, didn't say, well, oh, clap your hands, all those of you who know how to praise the Lord. And the rest of you who like to be mellow, you can be quiet. No, he didn't say that. Shout, he said, unto God. All ye people, and all is all. Clap your hands even, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. You know, and he goes on and goes on and says, sing praises to our God. Sing praises. You can read that in verse 6. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Now, if you don't know how to sing, you are commanded here to sing. For God is the King of all the earth. Now, you sing ye praises with understanding. I'm going to read a few more places where we're commanded to shout. And then we're going to do just exactly that. Hallelujah. You know, Psalm 66. Let's read the first couple of verses. Remember, these are the commandments of the Lord. You know, except you don't believe the word of God, you know. Psalm 66, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sing for the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Now, don't be silent when it comes to praising the Lord, especially after he's giving you great victory. Jehoshaphat gave us a good lesson of how to do it. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Psalm 98. Let's read also the commandments of the Lord. Where the mouth of David, the servant of the Lord, as he gave it to us here. Psalm 98 and verse 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Now that's all. That's not some. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. You know, there are songs that we used to sing in the days with this thing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord with the harp. With the harp and with the voice of a song. With trumpets and sound of comet. Hallelujah. It's almost as if, you know, as if it was in the battle day. You know, you come again, you know, with the same kind of shout, the same kind of loudness. When it is time for you to praise the Lord, with the trumpet, with the sound of comet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Hallelujah. You come with a harp. You come with the voice of a psalm. You let the sea roar even. Let the fullness thereof, the world and everything. Let everything stir themselves up and praise the Lord. That's right. That's how you do it. You know, not this mellow stuff. I say, well, you know, and you just give the Lord one quiet praise after he's won tremendous victory for you. You know, so that's what we are doing. Let the floods even clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. Glory to God. Look at Psalm 100. You know, verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 100. I mean, all of these psalms telling us, you know, to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Hallelujah. Well, look at Psalm 95. Same thing, Psalm 95, you know, verses 1 and 2. I mean, many commandments here throughout the Psalms for us to shout the victory and shout the praises of the Lord, particularly after you've gotten a victory in the wilderness of Tekoa. Now, what is going to be your Valley of Beraka experience? Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the God and the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. I mean, it's amazing. Most of the time, I don't see people making a joyful noise before the Lord, you know. And, you know, today we're so spoiled. You know, people are, you know, they just sit back, relax, let the praise team do all of it, you know. And, no, but the Bible says, look, let the people rejoice, you know. And you don't have to be in a local assembly to do it. We're going to do it right here on this platform today. And everywhere you go, shout the praises of the Lord, because that's what he commanded us to do, you know. And this psalm even commands us. Some people have forgotten how to do this also. This psalm commands us to worship and to bow down and to kneel before the Lord our Maker. That's right. You can read that in verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship. You know, you shout the victory sometimes. You worship and you do this. Kneel before the Lord and all that. You know, but today, we're going to shout the victory. Hallelujah. Psalm 149, verse 6. The Lord commanding his people to shout the praises of God. Make his praise glorious. He's giving us power, a weaponry against our adversaries. But the high praises of God must be in your mouth along with that weapon. Listen to this in Psalm 149 and verse 6. It says, let the high praise, let me read it from verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud, even upon their beds. You know, none of this quiet stuff. Shout to God, especially after great victories. Let the high praises of God. Now, that's high praises. You know, we're not to praise God just in our minds. You know, there's time for that. But there's also the time to shout. There's a time for everything. You know, today is a time to shout. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. So when the Lord gives you the power of the sword, you know, to smite down, you know, those forces that we dealt with the last 4 days, you know, to smite down all of the bands of wickedness, you know, to break the heavy burdens, to drive off the oppressing spirits and to break every yoke. When the Lord has given you power to do all of that, then you got to come back into the valley of Beraka with your praises. Hallelujah. And Psalm 150 is all about shouting the victory of the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, he said. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts and praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Now, this is not a quiet praise. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise the Lord in the dance even. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud sounding cymbals. You know, the loud cymbals, praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that had breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, where is your praise this morning? Get your praise on here this morning, because we're going to praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, so I want us to shout the praises of the Lord. wherever you are, find a place that you can shout the victory. If you're in the room and you can, I want you to come to the stage. You know, my lesson of teaching is over. You know, I know that you guys love to keep quiet throughout the room, and that's good. That's correct order. You know, but now I'm asking you to shout. When the preacher is preaching, we be quiet. That's how we do. That's order. But now the preacher says it's time for you to shout. So now we got to do that. And I thank God for people like Jehoshaphat. You know, through the lesson that we saw, you know, of him, we've learned so many things. Well, let's read a couple of things before. One more thing that I want to read. I forgot to read this one before we shout the victory. You know, in the story of Nehemiah and Ezra, those two books were divided, but they are really the same story. In Ezra chapter 3, you know, let's see how people shouted the victory when they saw great things, when the Lord brings restoration. Restoration. I mean, when things are being destroyed and then the Lord brings restoration. I mean, these people knew how to shout the victory and they knew how to praise the Lord. And Ezra chapter 3, let's look at verse 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord. Now, I think God has put some things in order for you this last 4 days. You know, he's laid the foundation. And, you know, the victories are coming. Now, don't wait until you really see it before you shout the praise. You know, begin to praise the Lord. And then shout the Lord the praise, shout the praise some more, even after you see it. When these people laid the foundation of the temple, it came to pass then that the priests, in their apparel and their trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph, now those were the singers, those were the praise team, with the timbrels, the tambourines, they began to praise the Lord after the ordinance of King David of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising the Lord and in giving thanks. You know, and usually what they say is, the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout. Glory to God. Because as they were praising the Lord, they shouted with a great shout. And why? Because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. It was the same thing that David was doing. Shouted a great shout because the ark of the Lord returned home. Now, are you going to shout with a great shout today because the Lord has pummeled down, you know, the things that were battering you down in your life? Now, let's do it. Glory to God. Now, that's my assignment today, is let me see if I can get the people to shout the victory. Jehoshaphat was able to do it, you know, and he was a great leader. You are a great leader when you are able to get the people to do what you are asking them to do. You know, he was able to do it. He said, look, we're going to shout. We're going to praise. We're going to give the Lord a victory. Hallelujah. And that's what they did. Well, that's it. And that's what we're going to do here this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to praise the Lord with a loud voice. The same intensity, you know, that you use to pray when you are asking God for things, crying out to him and so forth. Don't let that intensity diminish when it comes time to praise the Lord after the victory. So that's the lesson about the wilderness of Tekoa, which is where the battle was fought. And then afterward, after even the gathering of the spoil, then it is now time for the Valley of Beraka experience, which is where the people praise the Lord and shout the victory. Lord, first of all, I want to give you praise for the great things that you have done in our midst this last 4 days. And I thank you and I praise the God of heaven, even our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given it into our hearts to seek him after his commandment that we should fast and pray. And I thank you, Lord, for the great victories that you brought into our lives, which will begin to unfold in the days ahead, not many days hence. Hallelujah. And now, Lord, we return to praise you in the beauty of holiness, to offer unto you the sacrifices of our praise, and to make the praises of the Lord glorious, to lift up a shout and a loud voice unto our God. Even as the one that was healed of the leprosy returned and with a loud voice glorified God. May there be people in this room today that will glorify God with a loud voice. And let us not be as thieves and as robbers that steal God's thunder. We got to give it back to him. Hallelujah. You know, let there be a thunderous praise and the glory of God out of our mouths. You say, glorify the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed and spoken. Amen and amen.